الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. Dear brothers and sisters, حياكم الله to the translation of the khutbah of today. As we began with khutbah al-hajj. How is it now? Okay. We began with khutbah al-hajj, which you all inshallah know. And then I said, all people, rarely when the time goes far from the time of the descending of the revelation, and when the people are far from the people of knowledge, then you will see a lot of things that make you wonder, and you will hear from them lies about Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, claiming that this is exactly what Allah Ta'ala likes. How would then they be punished and wrong if they cannot present or bring any belief for that, any evidence for that? However, they are in the sin and the mistake are settling, and they are claiming falsely that this is from Allah and His Messenger. We are going to clarify these mistakes on a number of Fridays, coming Fridays. We begin them in this Friday, the first day of Muharram, of the first month, Muharram, of the new Hijrah year, 1431. So with the new year, we are going now to clarify these mistakes so no one then commit them. And here, we begin with the mistake in the Aqidah, in the Creed. As the first mistake that most or many Muslims make, is that believing that there are other gods besides Allah who deserve to be worshipped, whether they admit it by their tongues or not, but their actions confirm it by the light of giving some of the worships to other than Allah, like slaughtering. Many Muslims slaughter for other than Allah, for the awliya, and going for other than Allah. Whether these awliya, whether these people are near to the graves of the awliya or far, they still slaughter to please the awliya. And slaughtering is one worship for Allah. As Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, verily my prayer and my slaughtering, that is the nusuk, slaughtering, my life and my death are all available for Allah Ta'ala. And as Allah Ta'ala says, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ, and pray for your Lord and slaughter, meaning for Him as well. And from these mistakes in Aqidah is what they do in regard to Isti'adah, seeking refuge and protection. Isti'adah, seeking help, and Isti'anah as well, seeking help. But Isti'adah is seeking help once the person is in the crisis or in the matter.
and istiana is seeking help before you are in that crisis or that matter. They seek these things from other than Allah by many different means, like hanging the curtains and the hand which they make or draw, and they also the horseshoe, they hang the horseshoe, and some red and black clothes. For what? For resisting the evil eye and enemy. And also hanging the letter of war on the wall, as well as using incense and throwing the sword in the house to kick out the jinn from the house. All these are mistakes in the aqidah. These are mistakes in the aqidah. And from these things, seeking help is what they say, madad. Ya Sidi Fulan, madad. They say madad means help or support. Support us. Or so and so, meaning from the awliya. Like Badawi, like whatsoever. Or they say Shaf'at Ya Rasulullah. Shaf'at Ya Rasulullah. Intercede for us, O Messenger of Allah. They do not mean intercede in their rejection. Although this is wrong, but they do not mean it. They mean intercede for us now. Talk to Allah. We need this, this, this. All these are from the mistakes of Aqidah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead. Allah ta'ala is alive, never dies. How come you ask the dead and live the life? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his lifetime, when he was in Medina, he did not know what's going on in Mecca. But Allah knows all. And Allah ta'ala, when even when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Mecca, and the Quraysh were setting up the plan to kill him, he did not know nothing, but Allah knew and told him that they are planning that. وَإِنْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُخْرِجُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ. And remember, when these kuffar were planning to either kill you or put you out of your town, he did not know that. He did not know that. But Allah knew all this. So how come you ask the one who doesn't know, but you abandon the one who knows? And from these mistakes is going to the fortune teller and witchcraft magicians. For whatsoever purpose. Some for tying the husband for his wife, so he does not go and marry, or he does not divorce her. Or for tying the wife for her husband, so she does not bother him or ask for divorce. Or in order to know who is the thief who stole his belongings. Or to know where is the thing that you lost. Or to know your luck in the future, what it's going to be. All these are mistakes in the aqidah. And from these mistakes is to believe that the stars and planets can have any effect on the air. So they subjugate the stars and planets, and they do many things of worship to please the stars and planets. And from these mistakes is bowing
the pious people inside the masajid. But the grave of the Prophet ﷺ is not the lamp. Because some people may come and say, how you say that? And see the grave of the Prophet ﷺ is inside the masjid. You say, no, this is wrong. What we say is the mistake in aqidah is to bring a body and bury it inside the masjid. Or to bury a dead person, wali or not wali or whatsoever, and then come and build around him a masjid. That is wrong. The grave of the Prophet ﷺ is neither like this nor like that. He ﷺ, the Sahaba did not bury him in the masjid. But they buried him in his house where he died. As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ مَعَاشِرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ نُدْفَنُ حَيْثُ نَمُوتُ. We, the prophets, should be buried where we died. And he died in his house, in the house of Aisha. So he was buried inside there. And that's why Abu Bakr was buried too. And Umar asked the permission from Aisha to be buried by his two companions, the Prophet ﷺ and his companion Abu Bakr Siddiq. So there is no excuse in that. But what we see today is that the grave of the Prophet ﷺ is inside the masjid. True. But when the Muslims increased in number and the masjid did not contain them, he wanted to extend it. But he did something wrong which no Umar nor Uthman done it. Because Umar and Uthman expanded the masjid. But they expanded it from two sides, the north and the west. The north and the west. But this Khalifa did his ijtihad and he extended it from the east as well. So by extending it from the east, all the houses of Rasulullah, the nine houses which were adjacent to the masjid, they were then inside the masjid. And then they demolished all the remaining houses and left the house of Aisha which held the bodies of Rasulullah and Abu Bakr and Umar. From there it came to be inside, otherwise it is not. And this is not a proof for the Muslims today to bury their awliya inside the masajid or to build masajid upon the graves of the awliya. Because no Rasulullah done it, no Abu Bakr, no Umar. None of them done it. So that is a mistake. And from these mistakes, the aqidah mistakes that the people today do is building up a dome over grave and surrounding it with a wall like a building, like a house, and raise it above the grave, the level of the ground. And then they put curtains, and people come and kiss and prostrate next to you. They put their forehead. All these are wrong. All these are wrong. And by the way, I saw a documentary just this morning, about a grave in Morocco called Bouya Omar. And the people come to this grave, it's a room, and there is a grave above around 1.5 meters or 1 meter high from the ground. And it is covered with nice clothes. All the walls are covered with clothes. And the people come there for, as they say, treatment and medication by the wali. What make me surprised is that they are rapping on the They are hitting the grave itself very badly, like this, and hitting their heads over, making noise. I said, you're wrong. You're disturbing your wali who's sleeping and resting there. You're disturbing him. Now, instead of helping you, he should get his stick and come out and beat you. Because now you are like some children making noise around their father. SubhanAllah, they don't even think. If you go to the doctor and you shout and make noise and you hit on the table, he would never give you any medicine. If you go to the masjid and make noise, Allah would not accept that from you. So how do you say that this is a wali that he can treat them from whatsoever different illnesses they have, and they still bother him? And I was wondering, these people, do these people love this wali or they hate him? You usually disturb who you hate, not who you love. And guess what, if you are sleeping and your wife comes and make noise around you, is this a proof that she loves you? Or it is a proof that divorce me, I don't want you? It's wondering. So these people do not even have any sense. And from these mistakes is also what I saw today. The girl is at the middle of the room, and they are making tawaf around it. They are making tawaf around it. And men and women together, and the woman with loose hair, and then the music inside there. And one woman doing what we call it in Arabic, zagharib. You know this, like this. I said, SubhanAllah, is it a wedding or what? SubhanAllah, is this the way they worship? SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah, their worships are different from the Muslims' worships. And I mean it when I say the Muslims, because I don't consider these are Muslims. Of what they do, I don't consider them Muslims. And alhamdulillah, in our prayers, we do not play music. Except for some arrogance these days, they put music in their mobile phone, and you even can hear it in Masjid Haram or Masjid Nabawi. This is arrogant and ignorant, should not be considered. Anyway, from these mistakes is, as I said, making tawaf on anything or around anything other than the Kaaba. Anything, make sure anything you make tawaf with the intention of worship, then this is haram. This is a problem in the aqidah. A problem in the aqidah. Because then you believe that this thing has a right to be given the tawaf. And also wiping on anything other than the two corners of the Kaaba, Hajar al-Aswad and the Rukn al-Yamani. Anything else in the world must not be wiped, must not be kissed. What to be kissed is only one thing, the black stone, not even the Rukn al-Yamani. What to be wiped by hand is the Hajar al-Aswad and Rukn al-Yamani. In this whole planet, here. Right? And from these mistakes is traveling only to visit the graves or visit anything for worship other than the three masajid, the Masjid of Kaaba in Mecca, the Masjid of the Prophet in Medina, and Masjid al-Aqsa in Sham. These are the only three masajid, not three places, not three cities. Because some people travel from Jeddah to Medina with the intention to visit the grave of the Prophet. That is wrong. That is wrong. The intention must be going to pray in the Masjid of Rasulullah, not to visit the grave. To pray in the Masjid. Yes, when you are there in Medina, you can visit the grave of Rasulullah, you can visit the graveyard of Al-Baqiyah, you can visit the graveyard of Uhud, Shuhada Uhud, no problem. But the intention in the beginning must not be for that. It must be only for praying in the Masjid of Rasulullah. Same when you go to Mecca, must not, the intention must not be for visiting the grave of Khadija or for whatsoever Sahaba there. But it is to go for praying in the Masjid al-Ka'bah. And by the time when you are there, you can go and visit the grave, as well as in Bayt al-Maqdis. You do not go for the, with the intention to visit the grave of Ibrahim alayhi salam, but to pray in the Masjid al-Aqsa, and by the time you are there, you can go and visit any grave there. Any grave there. From these mistakes that the Muslims do today, is swearing by other than Allah. Like in Arabic, I don't know in your different languages what they say, but I'm sure that in each language there is something to swear with other than Allah. But in Arabic at least they say wal badaw, wal nabi, wa hayatak. Badawi is one, as they say, one of the awliya. To me, is one of the shayateen. For what we read, we never saw Badawi. They never saw Badawi. But what is written about him by the Sufis themselves is something proves that his shaitan is not Muslim. Yani just some of what is written in their books about him. They said that he came to Egypt, he came from Morocco to Iraq to Egypt. And when he was in Egypt, when he came in Egypt, he climbed the member and the people were sitting waiting for the khutbah of Jummah, and he urinated over there. They immediately took his urine, and that's what is written in their book. I never saw that. I never saw that. This is in their books, in the books of the Sufis. Right? And yeah, he did many things. Many things, yeah, bad and wrong. So, they say they swear by him. Even if he was real person like the Prophet ﷺ, you still cannot swear by him. And I'm wondering why they swear by al-Badawi and they don't swear by Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Who's more pious then? To them, Badawi is more pious than al-Siddiq. Although it's not an encouragement for them to go and swear by al-Siddiq or by Umar or by... No, but it's to show you that this is a mistake. And also, from these mistakes is that denying anything known from the Sharia, which is in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Like denying any obligatory worship, that it is not obligatory, then it is kufr. Denying the reward which is given for it, or the punishment which is for the one who doesn't perform it. Also denying the whatsoever thing forbidden in the Sharia, or denying the punishment for it, or the reward for the one who avoids it. And also from these mistakes is having a doubt about the kufr of the kuffar. Saying, some people say, we don't know. They are kuffar or not kuffar, we don't know. Although they know that they are not Muslims. So who is not Muslim is a kafir. But they still, you ask them, are they Muslims? I had a debate with one who had a PhD from Germany. He's Arab, he's Syrian. Muslim. I had a debate with him. He said, no, we cannot say these Christians are kuffar. I said, okay, can you consider them Muslims? He said, no. I said, well, then what? They're not Muslims, they're not kuffar. Then they are what? Munafiqeen? The Munafiqeen have their own characteristics. Because they say we are Muslims, but they don't believe in Islam. Apparently, they are Muslims. Hiddenly, they are kuffar. So these Christians, or Jew, or Hindus, or Buddhists, they are neither Muslims, nor that they are hypocrites, they say that they are Muslims. But they clearly say that they are not Muslims. So what they are going to be? If can we just say they are not Muslims? I just JazakAllah khair. If you can't find in the Quran, the whole Quran, Muslims and non-Muslims, I'll appreciate that. Unless if you want to say that you know more Arabic than the Quran. The clear definition in the Quran for them is kuffar. And the clear punishment for them is the fire. Finish. So how come, you know, these doubts is a big problem. However, some of them say that, I heard an interview held with one of them, with one of the Murji'a, Muslim. He's a Muslim, he's Saudi. And he has a PhD. And he says that all the Muslim, Jews, Christians are going to Jannah. The interviewer, he asked him, he said, all the Muslim, Christian, and Jews are to the Jannah. He said, not only that, but all mankind. He said, even the Hindus, the Buddhists, and whatsoever, those who deny any God. He said, even those who deny any God are going to the Jannah. No any child of Adam will go to the fire. Subhanallah. What is this? So he wants to say, خلاص, don't be Muslim, خلاص, leave it. Be whatsoever you like. Subhanallah. And also from these mistakes is cursing Allah, cursing the Messenger, cursing the Quran, cursing the religion of Islam. And from these mistakes is claiming that anyone other than the Prophet and Messengers is protected from sins, from mistaking in the deen. This kind of perfection and protection is only for the Messengers and Prophet. All others, awliya or whatsoever, Sahaba, even Abu Bakr and Umar, are not exempted from that. They all can make mistakes. They all can make mistakes. As the Prophet said, كل ابن آدم خطاء وخير خطائين التوبة. All the children of Adam can make mistakes. And the best of them are those who repent. But of course, Allah Ta'ala protected the Prophets and Messengers because they are the conveyors of the Messenger of Allah. If they can't make mistakes, then it's a problem. It's a problem. We cannot take everything for granted. Like today, we cannot take everything from one companion only. Because not one companion only had the whole thing. And that's why you see Abu Bakr missed some knowledge. Umar missed some other knowledge. Abu Huraira missed some knowledge. Like that. Every Sahabi had some knowledge and missed some knowledge. But the Prophet ﷺ had this knowledge all because he is the one who conveyed it to them. And from these mistakes is claiming that the Sikh people, even if they are prophets or pious ones, claiming that they are still alive in their graves. Exactly like their lives before the death. Before they died. And they can hear, claiming that they can hear whoever supplicates them. And they accept their supplications. And they will remove their harmfulness from them. All these are wrong and mistakes. From these mistakes is believing that there is something called al-abdal. These terminologies or names and known by Sufis, they are the one who invented them and brought them to the people. Al-Abdal, Al-Aqtab, Al-Awtad, as the Sufis called it. And it means, yani at the end of it, it means they say there are four Aqtab in the whole world. These are, this is Awliya as they call it. And these Aqtab are the ones who help Allah. Look to this. Are the ones who help Allah on the ear. So these guys, they were human like us. They used to eat, they used to urinate, they used to fast too. Okay, they are human like us. Right? They died. Before they died, they were not helpers for Allah. But when, although before they died, they had some power. They have power like us now. We have power, we have muscles, we can do work. Right? But when they died, although the deceased body is not weak, is zero power, no power. They become the supporters of Allah, they become the helpers of Allah. SubhanAllah. Why do Allah need them? If the angels do not die, and the angels are alive, and Jibreel is still alive, and all these angels are alive, so why Allah Ta'ala needs help from the sick people, not from the live people, not from the angels? Although Jibreel, Allah gave him the power that he, with one wing, he had 600 wings, with one wing only, he took the land of Sodom, the land of Lut alayhi salam, and raised it with whatsoever above it to the heavens, and he turned it upside down. All this extreme power, Allah Ta'ala does not need it, but he needs the power of the deceased person. How come that? How come that? So we know that these are mistakes and wrong beliefs. And from the mistakes of Yangda'atir in these days, that some people think that Allah Ta'ala, some people think that Allah Ta'ala can be found in some of His creation. Meaning that you be perished, Allah come live in your body. What's that? Allah Ta'ala needs, it's like the soul, needs the body to live in. That's silly. So what about when you enjoy your wine? Will Allah Ta'ala be with you then? What about when you go to the toilet and you take off all of your clothes? Will Allah be with you then? What is that? No brain to think with, nothing in this solid part of the body. Nothing inside it. What is that? SubhanAllah. They say that Allah can be found in any case. In anything. And one of them said, مَا اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَنَا وَمَا أَنَا إِلَّا اللَّهُ. He said, Allah is nothing but me. And me is nothing but Allah. SubhanAllah. And if he dies, so Allah dies. So after him, after Ibn Arabi, the Sufi, we didn't have Allah, خلاص. Allah died. Our God died. We have to go and find another God. How can this be? This is stupid. And they say worse than that. One of them stood by a dead dog. And he started looking. His students asked him, yes, sir, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking to my God. SubhanAllah. How can these people think? Ikhwan, this is not from me, not from the ulama of al-Sunnah. These are in their books. Like Tabaqat Sufiya for Sha'rani. You go to this book and check. If you know Arabic, and maybe it is translated. I think it's translated to many different languages. Because they want people to be Sufis. So, and from these mistakes is giving examples for the attributes of Allah, the eye of Allah, the hand of Allah, the way Allah Ta'ala settled on His throne, and like that. Although Allah cannot be known, the attributes of Allah cannot be known by the eye, cannot be seen by the eye, cannot be known by the brain. it is way above the ability of these things. Only in the year after, when you can see Allah. But not today. And some of them, some of these mistakes, is denying these attributes, or some of them, although it is in the Quran, like As-Sami' al-Basir, although it is in the Quran, or they remove their meanings from them. They say, no, As-Sami' does not mean the one who can hear. It means the one who can know. So, but is one of his attributes is Al-Alim. So what do we do with that? We say, a servant boy to what? We are Arabs, and in the Arabic language it is totally different from what they say. As-Sami' is one thing, Al-Basir is other thing, Al-Alim is different thing. Alim, and I'll tell you what. Al-Alim means the one who knows. Okay. Who of you know the Mufti today? Anybody have seen the Mufti of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia? Sheikh Abdelaziz al-Sheikh. Maybe Ibn Baz, maybe many of you did not see. But Sheikh Abdelaziz, you saw. Is he blind or not? Does he see? No. Does he know knowledge of Ilm? How come? How come a blind can know? If we mean to say that Al-Basir and Al-Alim is the same, so how come this man who's blind know and know more better than many people? So we have to be logic when we come to the point of deen. Now, denying anything of the unseen which is then told or confirmed in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Denying anything of that is considered to be one of the mistakes of Aqidah. Denying the Jannah, denying the fire, denying the Sirat, denying the resurrection, denying the grave punishment, denying anything of the unseen, denying the jinn, denying that there is jinn, denying that there is sihr, denying the angels, all these are things then confirmed in the Quran. So denying them is denying the Quran, which is kufr. Mocking anything of what the Prophet ﷺ came with, whatsoever. As long as the Prophet ﷺ came with it, he taught it to the people, then mocking it is kufr. Mocking it is kufr. And from these mistakes of Aqidah is to name the Muslims kuffar because of the sins they commit. Unless if they commit the kufr. But whatsoever be no kufr, you cannot name them kuffar like the Khawarij who name anyone who does one of the major sins as kafir. They say, why they say that? Because they say that the Iman can either be or not be. That's it. So, if you do any mistake, it means that you don't have Iman, so you are kafir. They don't have strong Iman, weak Iman, and middle Iman. They don't have that. They have only one unit of Iman. It's either there, so you don't do any sin. Or if it's not there, then you do any sin. Which is of course wrong. And from these mistakes is denying the qadr, the destiny. Whether deny it at all and say there is nothing called qadr. Allah did not decree nothing. This is kufr. Or go on the opposite side. It's also a denial. When you affirm and confirm something not confirmed in the Quran and Sunnah, then it is also denying of the qadr. Like those who say that the slave has nothing to do with whatever things that he commits. If he makes zina, he did not go to it willingly. He's like a robot. You move him by the remote control. And And they say that Allah is the one who makes you do zina or not, drink khamr or not, kill or not, steal or not. How come that? And Umar ibn Khattab had a good treatment for these people. He was brought, a man was brought to him who said that. Then he brought a knife who said, no, the man stole something. So he was caught and brought to Umar. And Umar said, okay, he admitted it, cut his hand. He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'min, how come you cut my hand for something Allah Ta'ala written on me to do? Isn't it, Ya Umar, written? He said, yes, it is written. So he said, how come you cut my hand? He said, be logical. I bring the knife and try to cut your hand. If it is written, your hand will be cut. If it is not written, your hand would not be cut. Don't worry. Don't worry. So this is a good treatment for this team. As one man also denied the fire at the time of Umar. He denied that the shaitan will be burned by the fire. Because in the Quran it is said that the shaitan is created from the fire. Umar brought him and he said to him, okay, what is man made of? He said, ma. He said, okay, please bring me a dry mat. They brought him a dry mat. And he hit the man on his head. The man was hurt. He said, Umar, you hit me. He said, Subhanallah, how come the man hit the man? But the fire doesn't burn the fire. He said, Umar, I got the lesson, khalas. I got the lesson now. So, today really we need many Umar. Not only one Umar. We need many Umar. Because today, we don't have one shaitan, but many shaitans. Many shaitans. And because of the media, they are widely and fast with, because of the media. Anyway, this was the first part of the khutbah. The second part we began with praising Allah, and then I said, clearly, for every people that are inheritors, who inherit their beliefs and thoughts. And today, in these days in which the media is having the extreme power over everything, today we see the deaths of Aqidah flying all over the climate, and the hands of the simple people are taking it. And when I say simple people, I do not mean those poor people who do not have money, but I mean those poor people who do not have health. I do not mean the illiterate. But I mean those who have high degrees, but they are poor of health, poor of brain, poor of logic sense. These are the ones which I mean, that they are mischieving and misleading people. As in the hadith reported by Bukhari on the authority of Sa'd ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi, who said that the messenger, that a man passed by the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallam looked to another man sitting by him and asked him, "What do you say about this man?" He said, "Oh Rasulullah, this is one of the honorable people. One of the honorable people today." He said, one of the honorable people today, and for him, for one like him, if he goes and asks for marriage of any woman, he would be given that woman. And if he intercedes for anyone, his intercession would be accepted. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم kept quiet for a while when another man passed by. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked the same man, what do you say about this another man? He, that man, said, Ya Rasulullah, this is one of the good Muslims. For him, if he go and ask any woman for milk, he would not be given that woman. And if he intercede, he would not, his intercession would not be accepted. And if he speaks, no one would listen to his speech. Then Rasulullah ﷺ looked to him and looked at him and said, this one is better before Allah than full of the whole year of the life of this one. Of the one who said honorable. Why? Because this poor simple man has a penil. He has a penil. While that rich man, honorable man, did not have a penil. So he means nothing. He weighs nothing. And here I remember a story that our Sheikh Abdullah, our Sheikh Muhammad Aman al-Jami rahimahullah ta'ala told us in one of the classes, he said there was a guy, young man, studying in the high school, whose his elder brother is a doctor of Aqida in the university there in his lab. It was in Egypt. So this young man studied with some Salafis. So he knew the Aqida. He knew the Aqida. And he had an argument and debate with his elder brother about where is Allah. His elder brother said, no, you cannot ask this question because Allah cannot be in one side only. Allah is everywhere. He said, Akhi, how can you say that? Allah Ta'ala in the Quran says, Amin tu man fi sama'. The Prophet said to that woman, the Shibra, where is Allah? She said, in the heavens. So how can you say that? We cannot ask if Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked. And how come we cannot say Allah is in the heavens if Allah Ta'ala said it in the Quran? أَأَمِنْ تُمَنْ بِالسَّمَاءِ. They had a long argument, then brother told his elder brother, what if we both go to our grandmother who is very illiterate, and ask her this question, and accept her judgment? I said, yes, why not? Thinking that these illiterate, because he is a PhD man, he thinks that they can influence the illiterate people. But whom Allah Ta'ala protects, no one can mislead. So they came to that old grandmother. And they said, oh grandmother, who is Allah? She said, this is very silly question, my son. Allah is in the heavens. Everyone knows that. Then the younger brother said, Grandmom, what if a man said, no, Allah is not in the heavens, but he is anywhere, everywhere? She said, grandson, this man, you need to beat him by the slippers on his head. Over his head. The doctor brought his head down. Very shame. Because this simple brain knew the truth, knew the haqq. But him with PhD did not know the haqq. And just recently, I hear the debate I told you, just a couple of days ago, 2 days maybe, on one of the Arabian channels, a debate. It's not a debate, it's a kind of interview, because the interviewer brought this man because he knew what he said about the Aqidah. She was asking him, do you mean to say that the Muslims and Kuffar will go to the Jannah? He said, yes. He said, Muslims and Jews and Christians, no, no, no. Not only that. Every mankind. And he said, this worship is only to beautify you. Whether you worship or you don't worship, it doesn't mean nothing. Not to that. Of course, the worship is not going to increase anything in the dominion of Allah. But it is not because only to beautify you. It is to please Allah because Allah likes it from you. Huh? Yeah? He still considers that he's a Muslim. He still considers, unfortunately. Now, so these people, why do they say that? They want to be, they want fame. They take fame. Whatsoever the price be, doesn't matter. Their belief, their religion, their akhirah, they don't care. They want to be known. That's why they say anything which is new to the people. That's why they do that. So, I said here, I wish that they know how they're going to stand before Allah in the day of resurrection. And a very humiliation. And they would never be allowed to speak, nor to be blamed. But they're going to blame themselves and be put in the fire. Do you know, all slaves of Allah, what do they say? They say, though, a worship or doesn't worship are the same. Verily, this is unjust judgment. They say, you guys, if you awake early in the morning and walk to the masjid in the cold weather, or walk to the masjid for those there in the hot weather, you and the one who doesn't do that is the same. They say, you who pray, who give your obligatory charity out of your wealth, and those who do not do these things are the same. What an unjust judgment. They say, the Muslims and the Kuffar are all going to go to the Jannah. So, for whom Allah then created the fire? They say, these worships must not be practiced except to beautify yourself and please yourself. So, whoever is honorable in himself, he does not need to pray. He does not need to worship. And it does not harm them if they are not worshippers. And these worships are the only purpose for us being created. Didn't Allah Ta'ala say in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I created not the jinn and mankind except for them to worship me, meaning just that. So, be careful, all people of these TV channels which are full of the mistakes and false beliefs, and know that the life is very short and the aqidah is very, very, and the aqidah is very, very important, and the war between the awliya of Allah and the enemies of Allah are continuing, will never stop until the day of resurrection. And the shaitan is sitting on the right path, trying to pull whomsoever of the Muslims he can to the fire to be with him there. And we all belong to Allah and for him. We are going to go back. These are some of the mistakes, not all, but some of the mistakes in Aqidah. InshaAllah Ta'ala, on a sequence, and for number of Fridays, we are going to speak about mistakes of the Muslims that they commit with us in the Aqidah as we hear, or the worships, or the
transactions and treatments and relations, as you are going, inshallah ta'ala, to hear in the future. But all these are only examples of everything. Now everything, as we cannot bring all the mistakes, only to show you that the weather, the climate is polluted. So be careful. And instead of putting the mask on your nose and mouth to protect you from H1N1, you need to put a big mask around all of your head to protect you from these bullets. والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. نعم. Is there any question? نعم. Okay, jazakallah khair. Now, remind me also, at the end of the khutbah, I mentioned also, in regards to celebrating the new year, this is something forbidden, ikhwah. It is not from Islam. Even if it is Hijra year, it's not because it is ours, we can do it. But it is the kuffar, we cannot do it. No. It is, if it is in the sunnah, if it is part of the sunnah, then we do it. If it is not, no, we don't do it. Someone would come and say, but Rasulullah did not know this Hijra calendar. It was good after him by Umar al-Khattab. We say yes. But is it Umar, one of the khulafa that we are commanded to follow their hadith, their way? So we are using the Hijra calendar because Umar put it. But we don't celebrate because Umar did not celebrate. And we do not congratulate each other for the new year. Worse than that is congratulating the kuffar for their whatsoever religious occasions. New Year, Christmas, whatsoever. This is forbidden. Even with the excuse, some people make some excuses. They say, but when we do that, we make this, think about Islam and the tolerance of Islam and love Islam. We say, Rasulullah, who is more worried about people and bringing them to Islam, and he met the Jews and Christians and idol worshippers, but he did not please them by that, for that they come to Islam. He did not do that. So how come we do that? And I wish to know the number of kuffar who came to Islam because we were, mashallah, very, tolerant, using the tolerance, and then worshipping a religious occasion. And because of that, they become Muslims. That's not correct. Because when you celebrate and congratulate them for their religious celebrations, they will think that, okay, both religions are good. So no problem. And they will never come to Islam. And they will never think about Islam. But when they know that we are not allowed to congratulate them for their religious occasions, they will think why and they go change and know, then they will find that Islam is the correct religion and they come to. So this is the last thing we mentioned in the khutbah. Allahu A'lam wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Any questions related to the subject? No. No. What do you mean by existence? Okay, this is not the existence. This is not the existence. This is the control. I'm measuring the wording in English and Arabic. It may mean something in English, but I want to twist it to match the Arabic. Okay. Now.
What do you mean by means there? Yeah, you mean that today 12 o'clock, midday, Allah came to your house and took you by your hand and brought you to me? So what do you mean by that? You say, because He permitted you to come here and listen to me, and this is His wish, because of that, He is existing. Yes. That's what you said.
There is no doubt.
No, there is a doubt.
What I want to say,
no, 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 wait, wait. How do you say there is no doubt that He exists? There is a big doubt. Not only doubt, there is a big firm knowledge that He doesn't exist. His knowledge exists. His power exists. And there is a big difference. I tell you something now. Who is the king of Saudi Arabia? We are now in Saudi Arabia. Who is the king of Saudi Arabia? Abdullah. Where is he? Okay. Is his power here? No. Or no? Does he exist? Do people go by the law of traffic that he put or no? Is he there? That's what the... Okay. What is he? His power. His power. Now, basically, Allah doesn't exist. Allah is strong. Above all the creation. Above all the creation. Right? As he says in the Quran, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. Right? And his power, his knowledge, his sighting, his hearing, is everywhere. And it does not mean everywhere that his sighting meaning his eye is dark. No, no, he knows. He has the ability, he has the power to know everything. Everything. As I told you, you have to take it as in the Arabic, and then you try to translate it to whatsoever language you have by the meaning, because it came in Arabic, right? Because the word existence in English could mean the physical and the the spiritual. Okay. No.
Spiritually,
power. You can say that the world of this place
is not Allah. It's just his knowledge there. And without his knowledge, he cannot be there.
No, not because of his
knowledge. There's no doubt that he has knowledge. He can see. He knows what are
you
doing, what you should do.
No.
No doubt.
No doubt.
But when he has been
saying,
he said, now, I am outside doing something about
it. Yeah.
He knows I'm doing it.
Right. Does that mean he's there? Look, today we are in the technology time. I was with my friend in Tobago. My friend, brother, called Yusuf Yab in Tobago. We are the restaurants. Okay? And we were in the masjid, ready to give the lectures. He told me, let me show you my business now. And he put his business on the net. There are cameras there and mics, and we could see them selling and buying and talking. We hear them. Does that mean that him and I now in the restaurant? So.
In?
Okay.
Fine.
He's what?
Allah.
What do you mean by that? Okay. Right. He is there by his knowledge, by his hearing, by his sighting, by his support. He supports you. Yeah, you can't say he is there. But it does not mean he is existing there. Physically. You agree? Yani? Now, I can tell you that the angels physically with us here. We cannot see them. But physically they are here. By their bodies. We have angels. Also, when you are in the market, or outside the masjid, or even inside the masjid, the shayateen are there. You don't see them. But physically they are there. Not spiritually. Physically they are there. Physically they are there. You do not see them. You cannot catch them. You cannot catch them. Because they are created in a way that you cannot see them, you cannot catch them. You cannot hear them when they talk. They talk even loudly. But you cannot hear them. Right? So, this physical existence for these creations does not mean that if the angels now outside, they can hear us. No, they cannot. They cannot. But we don't see the existence of Allah, we cannot see. The existence of the angel, we cannot see. But the difference is, the angel has a physical existence here. But Allah doesn't have a physical existence here. Does not have a physical existence here. Right? But it is His power, His knowledge. His power and His knowledge. That is here. Now, for example, this cable has a power in now. It's black to the... If we remove this skin of the cable, can you see the power? Can you see it? But it's existing here. Am I right? It's there, but you cannot see. This is the example of the angels, for example, of the jinn. Right? We know that they are there, but we cannot see them, we cannot feel them, we cannot touch them. Right? Except if Allah gave you the power to. Like what Rasulullah did when he, when the shaitan wanted to cross him, cross the front of him when he was praying, he was raising his hand like this until he finished the prayer, and the Sahaba asked him, why you were raising your hand? He said, the shaitan, I saw the shaitan, they were, the Sahaba were with him in the masjid. They did not see nothing. But he saw. He said, I saw the shaitan coming to cross in front of me, so I held him. And if it is not the promise that Allah gave to Sulaiman, my brother Sulaiman, I will have tied them on the bila, making the children of Medina play with him. And I can feel his saliva here now. Even the saliva, he feels the coldness of the saliva, but the Sahaba could not see the saliva. Right? So there is a physical existence, but it is to some creation limited. That is the existence of angels and creation. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not see Allah. At least on the ear. Because there are different opinions, right, about him when he was raised in the heavens. Some ulama said he saw his Lord, some said he did not see his Lord. What we believe is he did not see. But, now, yeah, now, but, he saw the angels, he saw Jibreel, he saw the devil, the shaitan, not every time, but in certain times when Allah Ta'ala permitted him to see. When Allah Ta'ala permitted them to see. Right? So that's the meaning of it. The existence of Allah is the knowledge, the sighting, the hearing, the power, the control. The control, right? But he, Allah Ta'ala, is settled above all the creation, above his throne. He's settled on his throne, which is the ceiling of all the creation, as in the hadith. It is the ceiling of all the creation. Yeah? Allah. Did I clarify it or make it more complicated? What do you mean by physically?
I'm sitting here, they say,
that is in the Quran. As in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, فَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. What does that mean? Now I ask you, who takes the cells out of the body? Huh? Not Allah, physically. But we always say, Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, اللَّهُ يَتَوَفَّ الْأَنْفُسَ حَيْنَ مَوْتِهَا. So what do you say about that? Allah takes the souls by the time of their death, and which He does not decrease in death by the time when they sleep. So, what do you say about that? He physically checks the souls of the people, or His power? His power, His command. He tells the angel, go and take the soul of this man. Right? That's the meaning of وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ, meaning our power. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا يَقُولَ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That's it. And he, Allah Ta'ala, does not even need for the angels to go and take the souls. He can command the soul of me to come out of the body without the angels taking it. Right? Whatsoever Allah Ta'ala wants, He can do. Like when in the story of Ibrahim and Sarah, when they passed by Egypt on the journey of migrating to Hashem, and the king of Egypt took Sarah and he wanted to commit the zina with her. He wanted to rape her. And she asked Allah Ta'ala to protect her. He was seized like that, he doesn't move. What do you say about that? It's the power of Allah. This is, he was seen. Allah Ta'ala did not say to him, be dead. Otherwise, he would be dead. So it's the power of Allah, which is unlimited. It's the control of all the universe. While he is there. And he is, now, let me tell you this. Now, the king is in reality. Everybody here is implementing his law. Although they know that he cannot see them and he cannot touch them. Right? But they don't. What does that mean? He is powerful. Now, what if the people do not follow his way except if he is physically there? Where can he go? Is it a perfection that no law of the kingdom of Saudi Arabia will be done except if the king dead, or all the laws are implemented even if the king is outside the kingdom? Which gives the impression of more perfection about the king? They say, oh, he is a well controller of his country. Even if he is outside, people still go straight. Right? So, now if this is with human, what about Allah? Does Allah need to be with us so he controls us? No, he doesn't need. Allah controls everything while he is settling on his throne. by suffering. Not converting by the meaning, even your blood and your dress, he controls it. He is the one who controls it. And that's why when you feel a kind of slow beating, what do you do? Oh Allah. Right? Because this is by the will of Allah, by the command of Allah. Now, and whenever, now let me ask you something, as some of the ulama said, whenever anybody wants to make supplication, show me what you do when you want to supplicate. Why you raise your hands this way? Why you don't raise it this way? Maybe Allah is to your side. Why you don't raise it this way? Because you know and you believe that Allah is above you, above everything. Not mixing with people. Not mixing with people. Otherwise, now, you talk to me and you ask me a question, correct? Where did you look? To me, you did not look up. You did not look to the right side. If you want to ask him about the time, how are you going to say? How are you going to do? You look at him and you say, what is the time? But if you look this way and ask Abu Imran, what is the time? And you mean Abu Imran, Abu Imran would not answer, correct? Because you're not looking towards him. So that's why, when you supplicate, you raise your hand to the heavens, because you have a belief that Allah is up there. Not only you as a Muslim, but everyone, every person. The food is ready now. قُلْ أَبُوكَ يَأْتِي. Now, so this is the feeling, even the animals. As in the hadith, that the Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam went with the people to make Salat al-Shisqa out of the desert. On the middle of the way, he told the people to return back. They said, what? He said to them, you've been, someone has done this for you. If an aunt turned on her back and raised four legs to the heavens, asking Allah. So even the aunt knew that it's above the heavens. You know? Yes, the power is here. Power is everywhere. Power of Allah, the knowledge, the hearing, the sighting is everywhere. Nothing can be hiding from you. Nothing. Now. Allah. No.
And just clarify the point that you said that you cannot go to the person who is dead, five of you, talking to the Quran, and you go to someone who is living.
Good boy, let us go through that. Now, three things in this. Going to the grave of a pious person to make dua yourself, you make dua to Allah there. By the grace of the Prophet, you say, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, because you have to believe that this place is perfect. You are not asking the death, the deceased. You are asking Allah, which is clean worship, good worship. Here we do say this is shirk. We say this is bid'ah. We say this is bid'ah. Because you believe that in this place, this obligation is more accepted than it in any other place. Which is wrong. Which is wrong. Allah can hear you wherever you are. Now, the second thing which is shirk is to come to the grave of the Prophet or a wali and ask, oh Prophet, I'm poor, oh Prophet, I'm sick. This is shirk. This is shirk akbar. The third is going to a prophet, if you are at the time of prophet, or going to a wali, or a pious person, and ask him, please ask Allah for me wealth or health, or like that. This is permissible. Because it happened, many people came to the Prophet ﷺ. A man who was blind, came to the Prophet and he said, Ya Rasulullah, ask Allah to return my sighting for me. He asked, the man immediately became sighting. He had a sighting. A woman came to Rasulullah and she said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm suffering of jinn possession. Ask Allah to remove it from me. He said, if you would be patient, Allah will give you the Jannah. She said, yes, I will be patient. But ask Allah not to make me uncovered whenever they harm me. He asked her for that. He asked Allah Ta'ala for her, that's it. A man asked Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, ask Allah for me that my dua would be accepted. He did not say, oh, don't ask me this. Haram. Because he's alive. You are asking someone who's alive something he can't. But when you ask someone who's alive something he cannot, then either you are majnoon or you are mushrik. Because you believe that he has the same power of Allah. Or maybe you are majnoon. The majnoon, no problem. Because majnoon has no, so these are the three cases of subrogation. Wallahu a'lam. Now, the end of verse. Say to someone, make dua for me. Yeah, it is, if they are alive, and they can hear you when you requested that, or they can read whatever letter you wrote for them, they can read it when you wrote, please make dua for me, this is just permissible. But it must not be a habit. What people doing it today is a habit. Every time, make dua, this is not correct. The Sahaba, although they knew that the Prophet whatsoever dua he makes is accepted, they did not make it a habit every time, make dua. Not only that, not only when you see a pious, even the pious can ask it from a lower one than him. Like Rasulullah Sallam asked from Umar. He asked Umar. The Prophet Sallam is the most pious. But he asked Umar, he said, when Umar was going for Umrah, he said to him, include us, or don't forget to include us in your dua. So that's okay, but not a kind of, it's not a kind of habit. It must not be a habit. Now, let's finish that in all time. Anything else? No. Imran, religion. Huh? خذ كتاب الدعاء. نعم. Well, of course the haram is a holy place. And when you are in the haram, you are in great worship. You are not in haram just for enjoying. If you are there in the haram just for enjoying, no intention to worship, then I would say no, there is no difference. But as far as what I know, everyone who goes to the haram, he goes there for the worship, and the worship there is very great. That's why the prayer there is greater than it anywhere 100,000 times. So if you are there for worship, then yes, the dua there would be more better than anywhere else. Now, one last for you? One last for you.
Would you go to make a fast because of the bed or high fast? I'm asking that person to answer one. And then you get to see that.
Yeah, as we said, Okay, this is the fourth kind, sahih. We have three or four kinds of subjugation. One is to subjugate Allah Ta'ala in any way, which is the normal thing, permission. The second is to go there and ask Allah, you yourself, ask Allah directly, but you think that this place has any kind of a speciality that Allah Ta'ala sits there, what might not be accepted elsewhere. Which is bid'ah? Which is bid'ah? The third is to ask the void person, wali or prophet, to ask Allah for you this and this. And this is bid'ah. But it is greater bid'ah than the first. Greater bid'ah. It is between the bid'ah and shirk. If, and it is closer to the shirk than to the bid'ah. Because you know that he's dead. But you are asking him, you are talking to a dead. Even if he is the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the grave he hears, but only one thing, the salam. As in the hadith, the salam. The fourth thing is the major shirk is to ask him directly whatsoever you need. These are the four levels of dua. Now, okay, take your lunch with you. Take your food and drink. لكن أعطيني لحظة بس حتى شفتك.